Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 41. Amen. Every time we look at Book of Luke, I'm telling you that through this book, we are seeing our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. So by what he does and by what he teaches, the reality of that kingdom is being witnessed and taught. And when we see the reality of that kingdom, we also see the reality of the citizens of that kingdom. So the reality of that citizens of kingdom, that kingdom, is also being witnessed and taught to us. And in our passage today, our Lord continues his teaching. So we begin, Luke chapter 6, verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned." Well, God says to us, do not judge. But we need to understand this command clearly, because there is so much confusion about this command. When God says, do not judge, he is not saying that the secular government must not judge you when you break its laws. If you do something wrong, then you need to be punished. And when God says, do not judge, he is not saying that the church should not judge your sins. Actually, God actually says, Matthew 18, verse 15 through 18, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. It doesn't say when you see your brother sin, in love, just ignore. No, that's not what the Bible says. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Tell it to the session. I mean, we're not going to make an announcement. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, a tax collector, meaning you treat him as a non-Christian. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. One more, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Well, we don't judge outsiders. Do you not judge those who are within the church? Yes. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. God tells us in this verse, he tells his church to excommunicate the sinner who just flat out sin and not repent. Do not even eat with that kind of Christian, God says. But when he repents, of course we need to forgive that person and we accept him. It's not saying that you only associate with Christians who do not sin. There's no such one like that. But if he doesn't repent, continues to live in that sin, and he says, I'm a Christian, don't even eat with that person, God says. God's church must discipline its member. But when we do that, when you go to that person and tell him about his sin, the first thing you will hear is, don't judge me. God says, don't judge. Is God saying that? People will use our passage today so that they could sin more. But that's not what God is saying. Our verse is not telling us never judge. We must judge. How can we know whether it is obeying God or not obeying God if we don't judge? John chapter 7 verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There it says, do not judge, but at the same sentence he says, do judge. So you really need to understand what is God saying when he says, do not judge. Because in other places, God says to judge. And I need to judge. Otherwise, then I will follow something that I should not follow. God says to judge here in John chapter 7, but with righteous judgment. We must judge whether our church is preaching the true gospel or not. You need to judge my preaching. But God said, don't judge, so you're not going to judge whether what I'm saying is in the Bible? You have to. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets. Then in chapter 7, verse 20, he says, so then you will know them by their fruits. Which means we must judge their fruits. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the mature Christians are able to discern what is good, what is evil, meaning what is biblical and what is not. So, in certain things you have to judge. Actually, in all things you have to judge. This is why God's command not to judge is so misunderstood today. People speak of tolerance. But by speaking of tolerance, what they're saying is allow sin to go on. No. See, heaven is without sin. That's the life that Christ has accomplished for us. Eternal life without sin. And you cannot let sin go on. Not in your life, not in the life of church. So this first thing you will hear when you go and talk about their sin, they will tell you, don't judge. God says, don't judge. But see, that person is mistaken. That is not what God is saying. God is not saying leave the sin alone in the church. No, we must get rid of sin. And we must help each other to get rid of sin in the church. So when you see your brother's sin, you have to go to that person with love, of course. Otherwise, then I don't know why you think you're brother or sister to that Christian. If you see your physical brother or physical sister do something wrong, you will just let it go? No, you will go talk to the guy. Talk to your brother or sister. Why? Because you love your brother. Because you love your sister. But when Christian brother, Christian sister sin, you don't care? You have to go to that person. In private, God says. Don't tell anyone of what you know. Because if you start telling others what you know, then someone else will go to you. Because you're sinning. You're gossiping. Well then, what is God telling us to do when He says, do not judge? Well, the passage that we read tells us. I'll read to you from verse 41. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I mean, this is like exaggeration, right? Log is how can it be in your eye? It's really big. But you get the point. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. I mean, if you cannot see this big old log in your eye, and you say, I'm going to help you take out speck from your eye, it's ridiculous. That's the point here. Do not judge, and He tells us this. In verse 42, you hypocrite. So when God says do not judge, He is prohibiting a hypocritical judgment. God is saying do not be a person who looks at the speck that is in his brother's eye, but not noticing the log that is in his own eyes. Do not judge someone else when you are worse than that person. In that case, don't judge. Do not be a self-righteous judge. Because God did not appoint you as a judge. Luke chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. What Jesus is saying is, do not be like that. Do not be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were righteous outwardly. When it came to obeying the law outwardly, no one can follow what Pharisees did. They were really good, really well at it. I outwardly, they did not do any of these things. But what's the fault then? They thought that they are righteous in the sight of God compared to the other people. That's their sin. James chapter 2 verse 4, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and became judges with evil motives? Even in churches. They divide people, made distinctions among people. I guess you call that cliques in school. And that's what I see even in our church. Every single time I see after worship, I see the same people together. Same people. There are only few who goes around and try to say hello to everybody. But you made distinctions among people. And only those, the distinction that maybe you like, you will only go to those people. And I know you're not doing that because you're thinking you're better than them. But it's still wrong. They are your brothers and your sisters, all of us. And we are to love. So find out, you know, how are you? What's been going on in your life? I already told you, God has already determined whom we have to love. I don't make that choice. And if anybody come to this church and God makes that person a member of this church, then I have to love that person, no matter what. God determines whom we must love. So do not, James chapter 4 verse 11 through 12, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Meaning, who made you the judge? You and I, we are the people of God who obeys the law of God. We do not use the law of God to judge others. Meaning you hypocritically judging. Meaning thinking that you're better than them. And I'm here to tell you, you're not better than anybody here. I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me. We all needed Jesus Christ to be saved because we're sinners. That's who we are. Sinners. And if you think, I mean, even if it just kind of just enters your brain for 1 second, or if you even feel that you're any better than others, you are a hypocrite. And you need to repent of that sin right there. Which means you and I, we need to repent, period. Because that's how we feel about ourselves. We're better. You will say to yourself, oh, at least I don't do that. Oh, yeah? If God just arrange your situation, your environment just right, you will do whatever the sick people out there will do. You're a fallen sinner, but God saves us. But just leave you alone, there's nothing we will not do. And just thinking that, oh, I'm not going to do that. You really don't know yourself. You got to know yourself according to the Word of God. Not just whatever you think who you are. That's why Paul says, I'm a chief sinner. You know, some people think that, oh, you know, Paul says that because he's humble. No. This is Word of God. It's not about humbleness, it's about the truth. So when Paul says in the Bible that he is chief sinner, that's the fact. That's the truth. He's not just playing humble. See, that's what people misunderstand when they read the Bible. He knows he's chief sinner. Just like how you should know that you are a chief sinner. So, if you're judging someone, when your attitude is, I'm better than other people, then God says to you, do not judge. And I pray that all of you will understand what God is saying to us. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 and verse 12 through 13. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. One more place. Isaiah 65 verse 4 through 5. Who sit among graves and spend the night in secret places. Who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots. Who say, keep to yourself. Do not come near me. For I am holier than you. These are the smoke in my nostrils and fire that burns all the day. This brings anger to God. Yes, I said anger. You might think that being angry is sin. No, it's not sin. God says, don't sin while you're angry. But being angry is not sin because God, you read Old Testament and you read New Testament. Look at the cross. Do you see God's anger against sin? He would even kill his own son. That's how angry he is about sin. And another thing that I want to tell you is that we must never judge someone's heart. You and I, we are not able to look into someone's heart. We must not doubt someone's heart. That's why when a sinner comes to the session meeting and confess that they're in his or her sin, we accept whatever they say. That's what we accept. We don't go, I know you say that, but I could see you're not really repenting. No, you cannot do that. Even if he's lying, you have to accept. You do not judge someone's heart. But God will let us know whether that person is lying or not. Just give it a time. God will let us know. But you do not judge someone's heart. Can you just imagine, you know, you come to session and whatever you say, the session member tell you, goes, you just say that. What if you're telling the truth? Then what? And yet they still say, you just say that. We don't do that. We don't judge someone's heart. See, we cannot judge someone's motivation. And when it comes to one's motivation, we must accept what that person says until it is proven that he was lying. See, only God could truly judge someone's heart. So only Lord of our hearts is Jesus Christ. Nobody can bind your heart except Christ. Understand that? If you really, really believe what I preach here, it's not according to the Word. And you go home and you study the Bible and you just come to the same conclusion. Yes, Pastor Kim said that, but it's not according to the Bible. And if you really, really believe that's what your heart says to you, every single time you meditate on it, it says to you, then you have to go with your heart. Nobody can bind your heart. See, this is why what I see out there in politics is just, it makes me so angry. Nobody can bind our hearts except Christ. And they cannot tell us what is right and what is wrong. Only person who's going to tell us what is right and what is wrong is Jesus Christ through His Word. I don't care how many times they tell me I'm wrong, I go with the Bible. This is the freedom that you have as a Christian. It's not about what church says. It's not about what pastor says. It's about what the Bible says. And your conscience should be lorded over only by the Word of God. That's very, very important, brothers and sisters. Live with that freedom. Now, to say that you would take out the speck that is in someone's eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye, that's evil. Luke chapter 6, verse 42b, first you should take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Hypocritical judgment, a self-righteous judgment, is evil. But, on the other hand, taking the log out of my own eye so that I could see clearly to take out the speck that is in my brother's eye, now that is good. We should all do that. If you understand that there's a log in your eye, but you also see a speck in your brother's eye, well, if you see big sin in your life, and you see little sin in someone else's life, you repent of your big sin, and don't say to yourself, well, I was so evil, I'm so sinful, you know, I have this big sin in my life, so that little sin in my brother's eye, I just let it go. I cannot even touch it because I feel like a hypocrite, you know, even mentioning that little sin in the other person's eye. Don't do that. One of the reasons why you take out that big log in your eye is so that you could help take out that speck, little speck in your brother's eye. You don't just leave sin alone. That means you don't care. That means you have no love. Love me. Please. And love one another. So when you see sin, I mean, yeah, I will do my best to hide it from you. Just like you would. But when you see it, please deal with it. Because you love me. You know, I might get angry at you. I might say things like, don't judge me, bro. But please deal with it. Because I want you to love me. And I will do my best to love you. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, meaning sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a person, such a one, in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. So many places in the Bible, it says you gotta deal with your brother's sin. You do not leave it alone. But with gentleness, with patience, and you might want to do it not right there. You might wait a little bit. Pray for that person. Oh yeah, if I see any one of you buying anything on Sunday, I will talk to you. Sometimes I see evidences, but because I didn't see it myself, I'll pray. But I'm getting ready to talk to you. Because it's sin. Yeah, you go to another church, you will not hear this. But I tell you, it is sin. And I will deal with that sin if I see it. Because I love you. That's what God told me to do when He made you member of this church. So those of you who are not member yet, maybe you should think twice. If we continue to read Luke chapter 6, verse 37, God says not to condemn. And He says that we must also pardon the other people. But the one who judges others hypocritically and self-righteously condemns, and they do not pardon. Why does He like this? Well, ultimately, He does not understand the gospel. He does not know what Jesus has done for the sinners. Luke chapter 7 verse 47, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who forgiven little, loves little. This is the principle that Jesus says. If you're forgiven a lot, then you will love a lot. But if you're forgiven a little, you're going to love little. Which means if you think you are better than the others, then you believe that your sins are small, little, few. So you will love little. Not only that other person, but even Jesus, you will love little. Because you don't feel that your sins were big. Because you're better than others, you think. So that's just how it is. If you think you're better than other people, that means you feel your sins are little. Then God just forgave you little sins so that you're going to love little. God's principle, not mine. And you could say whatever you want. You could make all kinds of excuses, but this is the truth. What God says is the truth. But if you feel you are the chief sinner, you're the worst sinner than anybody else. That means you understand your sins were big. So when God forgave your sins, He forgave you a lot. With that understanding, you will love Him a lot. And love the other people a lot. This is a biblical principle. So if you talk to somebody, and that person gives you this vibe that they think that they're better, that they're not really that bad sinner, but just, you know, oh yeah, I sin here and there, yeah. You know, he cannot be a good Christian. He will love little. This is what God says. And I take His word to be true. Brothers and sisters, how does Jesus treat you? Does He ever condemn you? Does He judge you? Well, He did on the cross. Does He condemn you? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How much did He pardon you? Those who understand this knows that His life is now a participation in the life of Christ. And when one lives with that faith, he does not judge anyone hypocritically. He does not condemn anyone, and he pardons other people. Because to be like Christ is the purpose of Christianity. Luke chapter 6, verse 39 and 40, and He also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man. Can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but anyone after he has been fully trained, he will be like his teacher. Wonderful passage. This is why we're so happy that our teacher is Jesus Christ. Would you follow a teacher who is a blind? And why are they called blind in the Bible? Because they do not know the truth. They don't have the light. Anybody who does not know the Bible, they're blind. Would you follow someone who is blind? If your ultimate purpose is to go to God. I mean, if your ultimate purpose is to be rich in this world, you could follow whatever. It doesn't matter. We would not follow a blind teacher. This is why you got to make sure that people who teach in this church, like myself, that we know the Bible or not, you have to find it out. We're so quick to listen to advices of people who do not even know what the Bible says. That's following the blind. But would you follow Jesus Christ? Yes. And if we follow a blind, we will fall into a pit. Pit is like symbol of hell. But if we follow Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word, after we have been fully trained, our passage says, we will be like our teacher. We will be like Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we desire. We have to make sure that we are following our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must understand correctly the Word of God. And those who are like Jesus Christ are the citizens of the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. And in verse 38, God says, to give, and it will be given to you. Now, it sounds like we have to do something first, and then God will do something. It sounds like Armenian. We initiate. We have to do something and God will do something in response. But we already talked about this. Bible is written like this. So that without the help of the Holy Spirit, God actually says in the Bible that they will not understand the gospel. That's the purpose. It's deliberately written like this. So God says, believe, then you will be saved. Huh? I thought because we're already saved that I believe. Then why does God say it like that? Believe, then I will save you. Again, so that people will not understand the truth. But if you look at the whole Bible, you know God doesn't mean that way. That's the key. Bible has to interpret the Bible. So, if I don't believe, then it shows that God has never saved me. And if I believe, then it shows that God has already saved me. And this is the thing. I told you already. God did not give Ten Commandments while these people were living in Egypt and say, do this and I will save you. No, what he's saying, these commandments are saying is, now I have saved you, now you must live this way because you are this way. You are this kind of person. That's what those commands are saying to them. You have been saved. So you are new creation. So here, this is how you must live because you are already this kind of person. You need to understand these passages in that way. If we do not do, then it shows that we have not received His grace. By not judging, we witness our reality of not being judged by God. We witness our reality of not being condemned by God by not condemning the other people. So when I see you not condemning, then I make... And it came from faith, then I could be assured that you are not condemned by God. Because we are pardoned, we witness that reality by forgiving others. The Bible is very clear. We love because God loved us first. We love God because He loved us first. That's what the Bible says. It's not like we started to love God, then God goes, oh, I better love you because you're loving me. No. We love Him because He loved us first. We must first believe what our Lord has done for us. By that faith, we must witness our heavenly reality. We will never judge others in heaven. We will never condemn anyone in heaven. We will forgive all the sins of the other people in heaven. That heavenly life is already ours. It is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. That's why God says, do not judge, do not condemn, and give. Because that is who we are in Christ. And you must believe. And whatever obedience that you do must come flow out of your faith. Otherwise, anything that is not of faith is sin, God says. Let me give you one example from the Old Testament. What is God saying to us here? He says to love. Love one another. That's what He's saying. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, we see Satan, what he was doing, and we see God, what He was doing. Satan's purpose was to reveal their sin. But God's purpose was to cover their sin, their shame. And we must have the mind of God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Impossible. How can you regard someone else more important than yourself? And yet, that's who you have become. Because that's who Jesus is, and that's how we're going to be living in heaven. Not only they're better, they're more important. This is how we must live. And yet, that's not how people live these days. It's all about, you know, himself and his physical family. That's all they care. It's never about the other people. And yet, that's exactly what Christ has done for us. We were not even his family. We were his enemies. And yet, he cared for us. That's how the gospel begins and that's how the gospel ends. And we must do the same. That's what Christianity is. Loving your own family, loving yourself, that's non-Christians do that. What credit is that to you, God says? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. It is giving oneself to the other people. Because that is the gospel. How much did our Lord give to us? Our cup overflows. And everything that I'm telling you, again, do not use what I'm telling you to judge others. Saying, yeah, they should do that. Yeah, they're not doing it. Man, if you're doing that, then you don't understand a thing I said. It's to examine yourself. Whether you're doing this or not. But how much did Jesus give you? Man, love this picture that he draws for us in verse 38. He gave us a pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is the picture. How much God gave us expressed in terms of grains. When you go buy grains in the old times, you know, they use the measure cup, which is like wooden box, right? And then if you say, give me one box. And this owner is so generous. He puts a grain in the box and he presses down and he shakes together so that there will be no space, you know, among the grains. And he presses down and then it's running over. That's the picture. Press it down, shake it, and running over. That's how much God gives you. That's the measurement that God uses when it comes to blessings that He gives you. This is how we must give. Why? Because God said, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So once you realize how much is given to you, how much forgiveness, how much grace, how much blessing, you understand the measurement that God used. And when you believe it, that's when you're going to use the same measure to give it to other people. Man, if you believe that God just gave you so little, that's exactly how much you're going to give it to others. So little. That's just how we are. This is not something to be forced. It's about faith. What do you really believe what God has done for you? How much He gave you? If your faith is a lot, then you will do a lot. Otherwise, you will do a little. I cannot force you. Oh, you might pretend for a little while, but you're not going to keep doing that. Only when you believe. So brothers and sisters, believe. And use the same measure when you give to other people. But even when you cannot find yourself to do that, and I don't want you to be a hypocrite, pretending to be that. But examine yourself every day to see if you are like that. But even if you're not like that in your life, have hope. Because it is guaranteed you are like that in heaven. One day, not only you will see yourself, but you will see other people sitting right here. And you go, whoa, these guys, they give a lot. Oh, they love me so much. Because Christ has already made us that kind of people. Hallelujah. Let's pray.